This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1. But first of all, what of fondant fancies? Oh, we've got a fan over here, a fan. And cornflakes. Fewer fans for cornflakes, I see. And a melon. Oh, yes, we have a vote for the melon. What have these three got in common? Any guesses? Pardon? You can eat them, that's good, yes. Well, you see, I've never been pregnant. You laugh, but I've never been pregnant. But I've seen Alison go through two pregnancies. Go through, that sounds terrible. Enjoy two pregnancies. During which she developed a particular fondness for fondant fancies and for melons and for cornflakes. And some of you will have had similar experiences. What were your predilections when you were pregnant? Greg's pasties, a particular brand of pasty. Other brands are available. The meat one, not the veggie one, okay. And anything else? Anybody else? Double deckers. That dates you a bit, to be honest. Do they still make them? Sorry. Anybody else? Cheese. I like cheese. I'm not pregnant. All cheese. Lots of cheese. Rachel said it was cake, but her husband thinks she just wanted cake. My personal yearning, and I can't blame it on pregnancy, is for pork pies, as you may be able to tell. It's been a while. She won't let me have them anymore. I've never been pregnant, as I say, but I have been a baby. And just like Zipporah, I've been a baby. And I've been an embryo, as have you. So my topic today is, when does life begin? It's a discussion, this sort of discussion about pregnancies and babies, what the medics call obstetrics, is most often a matter of joy and celebration. But it can be a really painful subject too. For all sorts of reasons, it could be that you're sitting here, you're watching online, and you've lost a baby one way or another. Or it could be that maybe you're unable to have a baby. Maybe you were yourself unwanted. You were not a loved baby. It would be easy just to sidestep talking about this, but I think it's important to think about life and where it begins and where God is in all of that. And knowing where you come from, I think, is a crucial part, a part of figuring out who you really are. And I've divided this message into two parts. So today, we're looking at how babies come into being from the baby's point of view, if you like. And it's relevant, therefore, to all of us. And then on Mothering Sunday, in a couple of weeks' time, I'm going to be looking at it from the parent's point of view, which is also actually relevant to all of us, although perhaps in different ways and to different degrees. And my hope is that you'll bear with me. This is a tricky subject, and I hope that you'll be able to hear what I'm saying and receive the immense truth that there's something very special about you. If this does raise stuff, as we talk about you and you as a baby and where you come from, if it does raise stuff which would benefit conversation, talking, prayer, I want you to know that we would love to pray with you. We'd love to hear your story. If you're not in one of our small groups, our growth groups, if you are in one, that's a great place to go and talk to them. If not, grab hold of one of our pastoral staff. They are extremely good at listening. Because from before the very beginning of the childbearing process, God was involved in knowing you, in creating you, in bringing together all the incredibly complex and intricate processes and mechanisms to make you distinctively you. Here's the promise, one of many in Scripture, Jeremiah 1 verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. The Bible often connects God, the creator, the giver of life, with the fetus in the womb. It's a repeating theme. Before you were actually born, you were. You were known. You had an identity. And God had designs and plans for your life. And that identity becomes fleshed out, literally, as you grow. And it's influenced by your family and the social environment in which you've grown up. Were you longed for and loved or not? Were you perhaps a little surprised? Have you lived happily with your birth parents or with one of them? Or have you been adopted? Whatever the surrounding issues and the people involved at the start of your life, it's really a big thought to understand this, that you are not accidental, you are not incidental, you need not to be uncertain as to who you are, because before you were born, God knew you and loved you and called you into purposeful being. I want to tell you a story, and this story weaves together two themes about this. One is about you and where you begin, and the other is about Jesus and about the when the Bible talks about being born again, how it weaves the two things together. And we can't do it full justice, but I want to touch on it and open this subject up a bit this morning. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. It was a bit unusual for a girl, a young slip of a girl, probably about 14, to be out on her own, walking the dusty paths across the Judean hills. She was on a mission, though, quite excited but needing some reassurance. The strangest thing had happened. She had had an encounter with an angel. It was terrifying and mysterious all at the same time. And the nub of the issue was that the angel had told her that she was going to be pregnant, but she hadn't yet got married to her fiancé. She hadn't even slept with him. She was a virgin. He was a great guy, and this was really awkward. And as she climbed the hills, maybe feeling a little queasy, she puzzled over the strange things that the scary angel had said about God making her pregnant, which meant that the baby would have two fathers, one which was sort of biological, sort of cosmic, and the other one which was sort of adopted. How is that possible if she's still a virgin? Mary was thinking, I wish I'd listened more carefully in biology. And there was definitely something funny going on in her body. 2,000 years later, she would have used the word hormones. Who could she talk to about this? Ah, I know. My favorite aunt, relative. She's an older lady, but the word is on the street that she's got this miraculous pregnancy going on. I'll go and talk to her. So she walks up to her village, to her and Zechariah's house. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Luke is one of the four biographies about Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke 1. At that time, Mary got ready. So she just had this angel say this stuff to her, and she got ready and she hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy." This is God's word to us, and it's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. So Elizabeth was about 6 months pregnant. If you read the backstory, she was about 6 months pregnant, and so she was carrying a fetus that would eventually take the name John. Mary would have been in the first few days, maybe a week or two, of her pregnancy. A modern pregnancy test might have detected it. The embryo would have been just visible as a tiny tadpole, possibly, and would be given the name Jesus. And Mary walks up to the front of they would have a house with a little path and a gate, and they would have stopped at the gate, and they didn't have doorbells and things, so they would shout, "Anybody in?" And people would come to the door and let them in. And they haven't even seen each other. And yet, what does Liz say? She says in verse 44, "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy." Here's the thing. The person who is John recognizes there's a person who is Jesus. Wow. Whatever else is going on here, the thing I want you to notice is that the baby inside Mary is known by the baby inside Elizabeth. The baby in Liz's tummy, John, knows the baby in Mary's tummy, Jesus. Both babies, John and Jesus, are people, persons, humans, known. So when does life begin? When does a baby have full value as a human being? When do they have rights? When is their life considered to start? In those times, under Roman law, babies didn't have any legal status until they were a year old. And today there are some people who hold a similar view, that babies shouldn't have any value, treated with any value, until they've sort of got a proven health and prospects, if you like. There are people who think that. And it goes without saying that if people at that end of the spectrum, if you like, wouldn't give an unborn baby, a fetus, any value at all, far less an embryo. Thanks to the work of brilliant scientists, we know that an egg from the woman is fertilized by the sperm from a man to become an embryo. You didn't know you were coming to a biology lesson today, did you? We know that something amazing happens as the cells start dividing and as the embryo gets implanted in the uterus, and this all happens in the first few hours and days. And then the cells continue to replicate, what they call the domino effect, and the journey to becoming your brain tissue, or your big left toe, or your appendix, or maybe your blood begins. These days, after a few days or a couple of weeks, a test will tell a woman whether she is pregnant. And after about 12 weeks, she will usually have an ultrasound scan in which she can see the heart beating and the hands and feet. For Elizabeth, who was at about 26 weeks, an ultrasound would have told her that John was a boy. So here's the question. When does life begin? When did you become you? When did John become John? When did Jesus become Jesus? Going back to that house in Judea 2,000 years ago, Mary may have suspected that she was pregnant, but it was very early on, probably within a couple of weeks, that little tadpole probably. And then we track backwards for a few days and we can imagine, well, I'm not sure I can imagine it really, Jesus as an embryo just being implanted in Mary's womb. Or even before that, a cell being fertilized by what? Whom? So mysterious, so mind-boggling, so wonderful. That mystery is at the core of the Christian message, that Jesus came to us in a fully human form, and yet he was also God. A cosmic, eternal being walks this earth, one that has been conceived human, whose embryonic cells have replicated and have grown in the womb and has been delivered as a baby and has grown up to adulthood. Extraordinary. Let us just stop and worship this awesome, merciful God who exists outside time, and yet he stoops to enter our time and our humanity so that we can be saved. Hearken to these words from John's Gospel, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. That's another way of describing Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Jesus is by nature God, and so his existence did not have a beginning. He's outside of time. But Jesus' human life had a very definite beginning in Mary's body 2,000 years ago. Extraordinary. This is our story. In verse 10 of John 1, he, Jesus, was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. Your life began in your mother's womb, but your spiritual life is born again through Jesus. Because God took human form in an embryo, as a fetus, as a walking, talking human being, we are given a miraculous, merciful way to be born again through God's grace. If we will receive Jesus and believe in his name, then God, through his grace, has made a way for us to be adopted into his family, just as Alex was speaking about last week. And this Jesus grew up to be a young man who gave his life for us. So not only did he take on our humanity, he gave up his life for us and then was raised from the dead so that we can be forgiven by grace and so that we can be born again. I'm weaving between two topics. That's a wonderful, awesome concept. Let's just go back to when does life begin. I've talked with theologians and with doctors and nurses and with scientists and mothers, and then I've read all sorts of interesting work, and I've observed that there are many opinions about when life starts. And as I always say, I'm telling you what I think. I'm not telling you what to think. I'm trying to equip you to think. This is what I think. When does life start? If in doubt, I would go earlier rather than later. I'd default to early. And I do like what Dr. Peter Saunders, who was the chief executive of the Christian Medical Fellowship, when he made his submission to the HFEA, the Human Fertilization and Embryology Authority, he concluded it with this line, or in this summary, he said, "My own personal view is that human embryos are not just potential human beings, but are human beings with potential." I believe that you were given the gift of life, made a human being at a microscopic level. When the chromosomes of two other people were in some inexplicable cosmic way imbued with distinctive life by your creator God, it's a biological mystery and it's a theological mystery, and brothers and sisters, it's a wonderful gift. Let me wrap up for now, because I'm not sure I want to go any further than that. I think Saunders' statement says it beautifully. I'm not sure that this is a mystery that we're ever meant to completely solve. I do know that you were you before we could see you. You were known and loved. And whatever at that point your future held, whether it was a long, healthy life or a very short one before paradise, whatever happened, your life, human life, began. And your spiritual life also has a beginning. When you, if this is something you have done, are born again spiritually, when you received Jesus and believed in his name. However your life has been so far, you can be born again. It's an incredible statement. You can receive, as you are born again, you can receive healing from what's happened, and you can receive forgiveness for things you've done. Let's just finish with that promise again. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. You are not accidental. You're not incidental. You need not be uncertain as to who you are. Because before you were born, God knew you and loved you and called you into purposeful being. Let's pray. Matt and Anne, would you join me? Let's just wait. I recognize that what I've been talking about stirs up all sorts of stuff. And I just want to allow some, just a few moments for us just to reflect, and a couple of things in particular before we sort of say goodbye to our online friends and come to a conclusion. First of all, I want to pray that you will. I want to pray for you to pray with me to receive the gift of life. I think for some of you that's a really interesting thought, that you've been given this gift by God, and you haven't really owned it and enjoyed it and grabbed it for what it is. And I just want to pray a prayer that you can pray with me, that to receive that gift of life. And then I want to pray a similar prayer, that if you haven't yet followed Jesus and believed in his name, that you could pray that with me and receive a new life, be born again. So shall we pray that together? Lord, we come to you just awestruck by that concept that you give us life. In some miraculous way we don't fully understand and will probably never understand, you give us life. And it's a gift from you to me, and I choose, Lord, to receive it. I choose to receive the life you have given me. Some parts of my life, Lord, I find I don't really want. Forgive me. And give me a hands and a heart to receive the gift. And I also want to pray for some of us who have yet to decide to follow Jesus, and maybe today is the day. It's the best decision you'll ever make. Pray with me if that's you. I don't understand all this, Lord, but I know I need you, and I need a new life. I need an eternal life. So I come to you as best as I know how. I'm sorry for the things I've done that have come between me and you. I receive your forgiveness. And I commit to following you all the days of my life. Lord, would you give me new life and draw me into your family to become a child of yours forever.